Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Today's subject is chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia, and our guest is Dr. Courtney Craig, who is a chiropractor, board certified in chiropractic, but also a possessor of a graduate degree in clinical nutrition. She herself is a sufferer of chronic fatigue syndrome, but through her own efforts and research, has gotten on top of it. She enjoys a high degree of energy and is active in counseling and treating patients with that condition. And she has an active practice. Could you tell us about your practice before we get into your own personal story?
Sure. I exclusively treat and consult with patients with chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia diagnosis. I use my own experience and a lot of different ideas from different sources. So looking at things from different ways and treating the patient, like I mentioned earlier, I'm not treating this condition that is a mystery condition. I'm treating the patient. So I really take a thorough look at each patient and create a very personalized program for them. We look very closely at nutritional interventions as well as targeted supplementation based on the patient's own biochemistry. So another thing I do is look at nutrigenomics with a lot of patients.
Genetic testing.
Yeah, something like a 23andMe test or similar kind of thing to find, you know, really key biochemical parts unique to that patient where we can intervene with nutrition.
Certain weak links where maybe some boosting specifically of certain pathways might help to energize the patient.
Right. And this is a really complex illness. So it's very hard for me to know, and certainly I think for every physician to know, where to start. Especially, it's very intimidating. You get a patient who's been sick for 20 plus years and who's seen every specialist and is very, you know, either homebound or bedridden. It's very intimidating. So where do you know to start? So my best answer to that is to just be as thorough as possible. And I kind of look at this illness as like an interconnected web, looking at every system. And you have to find the weakest link, whether that's going to be problems in the gut, whether that's going to be insufficient methylation, or maybe it's going to be, you know, food sensitivities, things like gluten intolerance, or maybe they just need to really boost the immune system. So you need to find with each patient the prime driver, and that can be really challenging and take some trial and error to recognize. But, you know, you have to find what's making the most difference to make these symptoms budge in the right direction at all.
And your practice, it's not necessarily a face-to-face practice. You do telemedicine, and you do video conferencing with your patients as well from all over the country, all over the world. Some of the patients that I've treated, I actually had to treat them at their bedside, you know, via a telephone, because some of them can't even bestir themselves.
Right. I do have some clients here locally in New York City, but yes, most clients and most patients who've been sick this long are severely limited in their activity level. So actually traveling to see a doctor would just set them into severe relapse or be completely impossible. Mm-hmm. So yeah, everything is done primarily electronically. It's very easy that way to connect.
Great. All right. So we've kept our audience in relative suspense because we've heard your chronicle that you were extremely fatigued and debilitated, and yet you brought yourself to nearly 100%. We won't use the word cure, but shall we say remission? You're on top of your situation. So what were the main ingredients, the changes that you made that helped you to overcome this?
The biggest thing for me was just finding a doctor who had an open mindset and a background in integrative and functional medicine. Like I had said earlier, I grew up in a very rural area. I didn't have access to great healthcare. And so I was just kind of learning as much as I could and self-treating and not getting anywhere with it, to be perfectly honest. So I actually graduated chiropractic school, still looking for answers, and I moved to Pittsburgh And I found a little book during my externship called From Fatigue to Fantastic.
Yes, indeed, by Dr. Teitelbaum, who has been a frequent guest here on Intelligent Medicine and is really an authority on this.
Yes, yes, he's been on my show as well. Excellent book, and not so much, I don't know, the big thing about that book after I read it was, wow, all the pieces just fell into place for me. Because I was told that I just had fatigue. Well, I didn't realize that my gut symptoms were related to my fatigue, or that my hormonal symptoms were related to my fatigue. So it really put a very holistic picture in my head of what I was dealing with. And through that book, I found a specialist who was trained by Dr. Teitelbaum and his methods in Pittsburgh, where I was living at the time. And that was the first time I noticed any improvement in any symptoms whatsoever. The main driver for me was gut issues. And so once I started to address those, both through, you know, prescriptions and natural nutraceuticals.
You took some natural antifungals, for example, to rid your body of yeast infection?
Right, right. Yeah, a lot of candida overgrowth, SIBO, just really bad colitis and IBS and all of these things. My gut was destroyed from chronic many, many years of antibiotic use. So once I started to address, you know, these weakest spokes in my wheel, I started to move in the right direction for the first time ever. So that was a big key for me, working on the gut. Also, I had a lot of hormonal issues that were completely missed on traditional lab work. I had a hypothyroidism that was completely missed. I had adrenal fatigue that no one had ever diagnosed before.
You ended up taking natural thyroid medicine.
I actually took compounded T3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to balance out thyroid function.
Okay.
So it was really a combination of these different things. But for me, the ones that made the biggest impact were fixing my gut and fixing my hormonal health. And during that process, I also had a lot of immune boosting support, doing intravenous nutritional weekly sessions, and other sort of immune boosters, things like
IV vitamin C, Myers cocktails, that with magnesium and B vitamins, that kind of thing.
Right, and injections of glutathione, as well as just things to deal with all of these chronic infections I was dealing with. So I did. I took antiviral medications. I used also natural antivirals. So we kind of threw everything at it. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, you have to treat this aggressively in a lot of cases. You have to sometimes throw everything at it. And for me, the biggest things were fixing gut health and fixing hormonal health.
So I'm curious about the antiviral medications. That's somewhat controversial in chronic fatigue syndrome, since we haven't pinned down a specific virus. But sometimes empirically, you give a acyclovir, which is a medication, or, you know, a related medication, vancyclovir, which are, these are medications that are often used to treat herpes family viruses. You know, so on the theory that they may be effective against one or another virus that's overgrowing in the body, that helped to knock things down for you?
Yes, a little bit, but not so much.
It wasn't as decisive as you might. It wasn't like the magic bullet for you.
No, absolutely not. And that's kind of the gold standard treatment right now. The traditional treatment for a diagnosis of chronic fatigue syndrome is to try antivirals, just because we're harboring
I find them not that effective in my patients, most of my patients.
Yeah, they weren't very effective for me personally, and also the patients I consult with who have tried them, I'm not hearing very good results, but it really depends on who you talk to, I think. And I think the main problem with the antiviral medications is they're nonspecific. A lot of them are not very specific, or some of these viruses are latent and hide in tissue, or they, you know, put a protective phospholipid coat around them, so the drugs aren't even getting to them to be effective. And I'm not certain that we have viral titers on a piece of lab work. Does that really correlate with your symptom severity?
Right. Yeah, because for many years, and early in the 1980s, it became popular to call this Epstein-Barr virus. That was the term that was coined for anyone who had fatigue symptoms. And we, as you know, we can virtually demonstrate a positive Epstein-Barr test in practically anyone. In fact, it's the rarity of a person who doesn't have a positive Epstein-Barr. So to say, oh, you have Epstein-Barr virus, you know, it's an oversimplification.
Exactly. And all these other ones, too. I mean, HHV6.
CMV.
Cytomegalo.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not so much that these viruses are causing the symptoms. I think they're a consequence of having a weakened immune system, just like we see in HIV/AIDS patients. You just pick up every bug that comes around. And it's, you know, how it presents in the patient is completely variable.
All right. So another way of saying that is a rolling stone gathers no moss, but a CFS patient gathers a lot of viruses.
I like that. That's nice.
We can coin that. I'll trademark it, though. That's mine. I'll let you use it. Okay. Okay. So another important area, and, you know, I know that you paid attention to this in your own recovery, and you've written about this, is the mitochondria. Explain what that is to our listeners, and how can we address problems with the mitochondria?
Exactly. So the mitochondria are the powerhouse in the cell. So they make cellular energy in the form of ATP. And it would make sense in someone who's suffering from fatigue of all types to be a little deficient in the ATP department. And that's exactly what we see in a lot of chronic illnesses, not just chronic fatigue syndrome. So we're understanding now things like Alzheimer's disease, even heart disease and autoimmunity also are due to mitochondrial insufficiency. And it's not so much, again, that the mitochondria is causing the problem. It's that the mitochondria are damaged by chronic oxidative stress. So in chronic fatigue syndrome, we have excessive inflammatory cytokines. We have this overactive inflammatory response from that. Immune cells are overactive, that is abnormal, that causes a lot of free radicals and a lot of cellular damage. And the first guys to get hurt are those poor mitochondria that make energy for us.
Right.
So
the muscles, in the brain, you know, causing these pervasive symptoms.
Exactly. It's also a main player in fibromyalgia as well, the chronic muscle pain that those patients experience. And the cognitive fog, the gut health as well, which requires a lot of constant replenishing the cells of the digestive tract. So that is an area that is pretty well researched, actually. One doctor, Dr. Sarah Myhill in the UK, has written very extensively about mitochondrial nutrients for this condition. And I think they're definitely an important part of the healing process. But at the same time, you know, coming from this functional medicine mindset that I am, like, get to the root cause. Fix the oxidative stress issues and mm-hmm. see how we can reduce the oxidative load.
So the oxidative load can come from gut toxicity. It can come from environmental toxicity, chemicals, heavy metals. It can come from other types of inflammatory processes.
Exactly. So that's why you have to really take a thorough exam of the patient and see what is causing the problem. Try to find the root cause as elusive as it is in this illness. But at the same time, you know, it can be beneficial to supplement with mitochondrial nutrients.
What are some of those?
So a lot of patients find benefit from things like CoQ10, D-ribose is very popular, acetyl-L-carnitine. I also like to supplement with phospholipids. Mm-hmm. For mitochondrial health, so phosphatidylserine, phosphatidylcholine, which are basically going to help replenish the mitochondrial framework, as well as things. Creatine is also a great mitochondrial nutrient. So all of these things can be helpful. Mm-hmm. I haven't found that they provide dramatic benefit in patients.
In other words, they're not necessarily a magic bullet, because, I mean, people are saying, look, I'll get a phone call on my radio show, and we'll have about 3.5 minutes to answer. And it's like, what vitamins shall I take for my chronic fatigue syndrome? And that's, you know, as you know, that's you laugh because it's overly simplistic, but, you know, you've listed some of the plausible ones, but obviously it's kind of like the analogy I use sometimes is if you're trying to fill up a bucket, you know, you can pour the water in, but if you don't fix the holes, you know, you're not going to fill up your bucket.
Exactly. And it's very hard to know which nutrients are going to be beneficial. And at the same time, myself included, like, you get pill fatigue.
Yeah.
I was taking over 40 pills a day at one time. And, mm-hmm. you know, maybe that's necessary for the beginning when you kind of throw everything at it. But that's not sustainable. It's very expensive. And who wants to swallow so many pills in a day? So you have to really kind of pinpoint what's going to have the greatest impact and to move the system in the right direction, which is another reason why I like to look at nutrigenomics.
The genetic. Well, what about the methylation? That's a big thing. You know, this MTHFR is a buzzword these days, you know, about these SNPs or variations in the chromosomal array that cause people to have problems with utilization of B vitamins. What about the role of certain supplemental bioavailable B vitamins?
Yes, I think this is very important for this condition. And there's actually an excellent paper that just came out this year, a couple months ago, that's looking at epigenetics in this population. And they're seeing changes in methylation. We don't have enough info yet to say if these patients are under-methylating or over-methylating, but something is going on here, which is a potential place to intervene. And another thing we see is chronic B12 deficiency in this population. A lot of other B vitamins have been implicated. So, you know, a comprehensive multivitamin is just a great umbrella insurance policy. And MTHFR in particular, I mean, it's pretty common in the general population. 20 to 30% of people have the MTHFR, either homo or heterozygous. And from my patient base, I would say...
higher percentage, right?
Actually, yes. Yeah. I'm surprised at this. I'm not aware of any studies that has really looked at this, but just from my own anecdotal experience, a lot of my patients are MTHFR, either homo or heterozygous. So I think it's a good idea to take active folates to support methylation very basically.
Well, you said active folates, and I think that's an important point, is just ordinary folic acid, good old-fashioned inexpensive folic acid, not that well utilized by those people, right?
Right, not well utilized at all. And sometimes it can be even converted to unmetabolized folic acid, which there's a lot of research showing that that's detrimental.
That may block the good active folates.
Right.
Okay. So that's a fine point in managing these patients. What about, one strategy that is even advocated by Dr. Teitelbaum, Jacob Teitelbaum, in his book From Fatigue to Fantastic, is low-dose steroids, a little bit of cortisol, 5 milligrams in the morning or, 2.5, 3 times a day, low-dose adrenal support. Do you find that helpful in some of your patients?
Yes. And that's something I utilized for several years, actually, because I had some pretty severe adrenal fatigue. And most patients do. And it's not so much, again, that that's like the cause, but it's a consequence of being chronically ill. Your adrenals kind of are hypofunctioning. So, yeah, low-dose hydrocortisone helps a lot of patients, especially those who have orthostatic issues. I was one of those as well. So every time you stand up, your blood pressure kind of plummets, you get
weak and dizzy,
faint. There's also a subset of patients that have what's called POTS, which stands for postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, which is, again, the orthostatic issue, but it also causes tachycardia. So you have your heart starts racing. And that's something that I kind of have residual effects of, not so much recently, but and just for, postural changes.
And for those patients, sometimes simple measures like maintain good hydration, take adequate sodium. Everybody's so virtuous these days, they're told to avoid salt. But actually, those patients are precisely the patients who could do a little better with more salt that increases their blood volume.
Right. And most CFS patients have hypotension, very low blood pressures, especially first thing in the morning. So it's very important to get that adrenal support first thing in the morning by having electrolytes and adequate fluids.
Another therapy that's sometimes thrown out as a panacea-like substance is low-dose naltrexone. It seems to be sort of general-purpose immune modulator. And it's one of those hit-or-miss things. I don't think there's a blood test that tells you that you need it, but sometimes a trial of LDN helps patients with fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome. What's been your experience with that?
That's one that I've never tried myself, but I do have a lot of patients on it now or who have experimented with it. I don't know enough to say one way or another about it, but I think it does have some potentially good uses in the way that it acts in the brain. And it also has a great safety profile compared to other medications, which I'm on board with.
Yeah. There have been great hopes expressed for a compound called Ampligen. Ampligen was a buzzword in the CFS community in the 1990s, maybe even before. And, you know, due to issues related to medical economics, it was hard to get mainstream. The patients were clamoring for it, but it didn't get FDA approval. Are you are you confident that Ampligen could provide an answer for some patients, and what's the status of it?
I haven't read anything recently about getting that approved. I'm not sure where that is at the moment. But, yeah, a lot of patients do improve with that. The main problem with that is the price tag. It's extremely expensive. It has to be given intravenously, weekly infusions. So, you know, it's pretty intense and very expensive. So most patients cannot even afford to try it.
Right. And complicating matters and overlying this whole epidemic of CFS and maybe interlocking with it is this epidemic of Lyme disease that we see. And many patients who experience bizarre symptoms, fatigue, brain fog, they may actually be suffering from some tick-borne disease. Is that something that you investigate with patients?
Yeah, a few patients do get Lyme testing and have that diagnosis. And again, I'm not sure if that's the prime driver. It might be in some people, or is it just, here we are, the rock again, picking up moss, everything. Mm-hmm. Our immune system just can't fight off these infections.
In someone with the CFS genotype, that when they get Lyme disease, it's expressed in a different way. It's not sort of a subclinical, very obvious manifestation of Lyme disease as in a healthy, robust individual, and it lingers undetected for many years.
Right. Yes. And given the shape and the stealthiness of these tick-borne illnesses, they can certainly hang out in tissues, be undetected for years, and you wouldn't even know that you had it.
Well, it sounds like a very, very complicated art, and an art that, it'll provide you with many years of career mastery with, because, it's a developing story, and it's great that you focus and specialize on this and that you have a personal affinity for it because of your own medical condition. So congratulations to you for all the work that you've done in this area. So what's today's Intelligent Medicine call to action? How can people find out more about your practice, your writings, your blogs?
Right. I would just encourage anyone interested to check out my website, drcourtneycraig.com. And there, I blog regularly or link out to blogs that I also write for. And you can also find links there to my podcast, where we do a monthly show talking to CFS experts and researchers and advocates in the field. Coming up in 2015, I have some really exciting guests, one of which is Dr. Suzanne Vernon, who is the scientific director for the Solve ME-CFS initiative. So I'm really excited to talk to her. Always have interesting people on the show. It's just a great, go to the site. It's a great way to connect with me through the blog, or you can send me messages all the time. I'm very open to answering any questions.
Yeah, that's very exciting because I think there's some really brilliant people devoting their professional research careers to elucidating the cause of these mysterious illnesses. And, clearly we need something more than just, some of the medications we have to cover up the symptoms, things like Lyrica, for fibromyalgia, Neurontin, all the various things that are designed to sort of numb people, but don't get to the underlying causes.
Exactly. So hopefully in time, we'll have better understanding of this illness, better acceptance, and we'll have fewer people, recommending harmful things like exercise or, kind of sweeping us under the rug with the psychiatric diagnosis and throwing your hands up. So that's also part of my goal, is just to spread understanding about this illness and what it is and how deeply it affects so many people.
Another way to put it is, if you're involved in a high-speed automobile accident, conventional medicine, high-tech medicine is going to be great for you. But when it comes to these mysterious chronic illnesses, a functional medicine approach such as you embrace is really the way to go with detective work.
That's right. It is all detective work.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations on your success personally, and on the work that you're doing for many suffering patients out there. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our guest today, Dr. Courtney Craig, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Thanks for joining us.